What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and tonight is a Thursday night, November 7th, and we are recording episode number 240. It's an episode of BACS. Texas Tech football is back in the win column this week, so we get to open up Club Red. We get to talk about a victory that is nice after a couple weeks of talk about losses. And Texas Tech basketball is back. The Red Raiders tipping off their season earlier this week. So we'll have a little bit of Texas Tech basketball to discuss. So fun episode we got coming up for you guys. Always good to talk about wins. Always good to have Texas Tech basketball back in our lives. So let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
Well, Dustin, the Texas Tech Red Raiders headed up to Ames to start November, or some people are starting to call it Jovember. The Red Raiders getting, typically get better once November hits. That's kind of been the one thing you can maybe rely on so far in Joey McGuire's career. And, well, they did just that. They went into Ames and on a 12-play, 71-yard drive at the end of the game, Taj Brooks took it in to the end zone to take down the number 11th ranked Iowa State Cyclones in Ames to get the Red Raiders to 6 wins on the season, bowl eligibility, get the fans back on the hype train, I guess, and have us feel in a little bit better. It wasn't pretty. We made it a lot harder on ourselves than I think we needed to, and we'll get into some of those decisions a little later on. But ultimately, it is a victory over a number 11th ranked team and a team that was undefeated heading into this one. So how are we feeling after getting this dub in Ames?
Always great to get a dub. Like you said, it wasn't pretty. I think we won despite of some things on our own sidelines that we'll get into. But pulling off a dub, having Brooks run it in at the end was also just like a nice cherry on top.
You're welcome, everybody.
It was a cute play, but really just like the not overthinking it part, like we talked about last week. Like, thank you.
Damn, would have been a great play to run on like a 3rd and 7 maybe against TCU. I don't know.
Great win. Defense showed out great. Offense did enough in the end to win by 1 point. That's the name of the game, you know. We'll talk about some flubs along the way, but never going to apologize for a win. You want a sloppy, wet, rainy game in Iowa State. I was just thinking late in that game, especially when we won, I was like, all these Iowa State fans got to go home wet and with a loss.
Thinking that they were going to go into that game with a dub, move to 8-0, first place in the Big 12. Going to be in the first rankings of college football playoffs.
No.
Yeah. I'm much happier now about the win days. But I was trying to think, I was like, I don't know if I've ever been as frustrated after beating an undefeated 11th ranked team on the road. It was a very frustrating victory because in reality, like, you really controlled this game from start to finish.
Yes.
And you were the better team, and you were that close to having 2 back-to-back games where you were the better team, played better football, and we're somehow looking at 2 straight losses, and somehow you're able to put together a, like I said, a 12-play, 71-yard drive. I think it ended up being 76. It ends up being over 80 yards of offense that you had to get on this drive because you had 3 false starts.
Yeah, you had an extra 15 to get out of that, so make it a 90-some-yard drive.
Well, you started the drive with a false start, so before you had even run a play, you already put yourself back 5 yards. So impressive drive, honestly. By an offense that had struggled. It was raining pretty good at that time. Huge win, especially how it felt the season was turning.
Oh,
2 straight losses.
3 losses would have been terrible.
2 straight losses to Baylor and TCU. Everybody's kind of down on us. And you get this win. You're staring 5-4 right in the face there for a little bit. But you're able to get the job done. And now, you got a big home game coming up. And you still got you know, a Big 12 championship game possibly out there. Like, you're not completely out of it anymore. And so we'll have some meaningful football games here to talk about. But proud of the guys for getting the job done. Proud of the defense. That's the main part that I like. Just want to shout out is I thought they had one hell of a game. Almost as good of a game to make me maybe believe in the comps thing a little bit more, because I thought they just played well. They were bringing the pressure. They were making Rocco Becht uncomfortable. They forced turnovers. They were doing a lot of the bend don't break, holding them to field goals when you needed to. When you made one of the dumb decisions that we're going to get into, you held them to a field goal right after, maybe the worst field goal attempt I've ever seen kicked. That was bad, but they did their job to get you this win. The offense was the part that was brutal, and so let's get into that side of the ball. They did get three touchdowns in this game, which were every one of those was needed. But ultimately, after coming out the gates pretty hot, getting a touchdown on the first drive, the second drive, I'm not going to blame anybody on. You should have scored a touchdown there. There was a horrible pass interference call on Coy Aiken that took that away. You settled for a field goal. But yeah, 10 points out the gate, and then you couldn't really do anything from there on. You had opportunity after opportunity to build on this lead. You couldn't do it. Barron struggled in this game through two interceptions there in the second quarter, one that was right before half, which allowed Iowa State to go down and score and grab the lead before halftime. What were your thoughts on the offense in this game where you didn't see a whole lot of Taj Brooks in the first half? Barron looked uncomfortable, and yet that's like seemed to be what Kittley was willing to ride with, was Barron and this passing game.
Yeah, I thought we won this game despite Zach Kittley and Barron Morton.
Yeah.
I thought both of them were terrible throughout this game.
Yeah, like if you don't have Taj, you don't win this game. It's like if this was the Washington State game where you're without Taj, there's no way you win.
Yeah, I really thought Barron had a not good game at all. Some people were calling that last drive a legacy drive, which I thought that was – I saw that multiple times on Twitter, and I just scoffed at it. And I'm like, maybe a legacy-saving drive. It keeps you from being ruined.
I would say maybe a career-saving one for Kittley, right, because
– that too.
I wouldn't say legacy, though.
But –
doesn't erase Barron, the terrible plays he made.
No, Barron did enough in that last drive and in the long 98-yard one in the third quarter that we got to do enough. But, yeah, like the second and most of the third quarter were awful. I mean, you have punt, punt, punt with 3, 4, and 3 plays and then two interceptions on the next two possessions.
Yeah.
And then
– and the interception I'm pretty sure was on like the second play of the drive.
Your next two punts are also 3 and out. So there's a glaring weakness, obviously. And like the biggest one that I want to bring up that really pissed me off was you're up by, oh, what was our score there? Drift down, drift down. I think we're up
by one. Are you talking about the drive there? The drive where we
just got the ball back.
The drive where we should have killed some clock and then just decided
we get the ball back up 17-16 and we proceed to run off 46 seconds of clock with 5 minutes on the clock left. We gave them the ball back with 4:30. This is the game on the line here. I talked last week a lot about Kittley's like lack of clock awareness, and this is so glaringly terrible, right? To go 3 and out with like 2 incompletions in there.
Yeah.
Like, man. And then, I mean, luckily that gave us enough time to go score, I guess. You know?
Well, and the worst part of that was like, so you ran the ball the first play of that drive and it got stuffed. So you're like sitting there at 2nd and 10, but you snap the ball with like 27 seconds left on the play clock. It's like, at least try to like kill a little bit of time, but no, we were like hurry up mode. It's like, all right, I get you're up by one, and it's an important drive to score, but it's also an important drive to eat some of that clock.
Yeah. So that was an awful drive, set of plays, less than a minute for us, and they're already trying to hand the ball and the game over to them. And yeah, Barron just struggled like all game. I mean, he got bailed out of one turnover that we got a penalty, defense penalty on. Luckily, that was a horrible throw. He made some just horrible throws, especially in that second quarter. And so, like, I don't understand how we go from like two really good drives to open the game to just a god awful second and third quarter, and then like a just do enough fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was very confusing, and I think that's why like the criticism kind of is falling on Kittley here. It's like, how do you start that game? It's like, okay, so after the script plays, he, you know, can't do shit, which is like been a theme about him for a while now. It's like, all right, if he can't score on the script plays, then what? You know, you can tell the offense is going to struggle. You came out, you scored on the script plays, and now you got to adjust, and he wasn't able to do that. I think, but for me, I'm starting to feel like it's 50-50, a Kittley and a Morton problem.
Yeah, it is looking like it.
Because, golly, he was so bad in this game. Just underthrowing dudes, overthrowing guys. The first interception I thought was a really good play by the corner. But it was a terrible throw, too. Like, he didn't give his wide receiver a chance to even try to make a play on that ball. He completely underthrew it. If, like, you're going to make that throw, either overthrow it out of bounds or give your guy a shot to make a catch on the boundary line there. But he underthrew it by, like, 3 or 4 yards and gave the cornerback a really good play. The second pick he threw, he was staring down Josh Kelly from the snap, and Josh Kelly was double covered, and like that it clearly wasn't there. And I thought there were several plays in this game where he was staring down receivers and you're watching wide open guys all down the field, and he can't see him because he's looking at Josh Kelly, he's looking at Caleb Douglas if it's his, he's looking at Coy Aiken on the 2-point conversion to at the end of the game. He had Jordan Brown wide open on the other side, so much that he's jumping around and still was wide open, and he's not even looking over there, you know. I thought this was a highly concerning Barron game, and this was one of the things I talked about going into the game was, hey, Hammond came out, played really well for you. Are the people going to start clamoring for Hammond? And this just wasn't the game that made you really confident that moving forward with Barron, he's going to make the right plays. Now, was it weather, you know, all that stuff, but they're just all not a lot of confidence in this guy, and luckily he was able to go out there and do what he did on that last drive, but that doesn't erase the fact that you were in that situation mainly because he couldn't make the throws he needed to. He threw the interception that gave them the touchdown to go up on you at halftime. Like, he was the reason that you were having to play from behind there, in my opinion. Anything to add on Barron or the offense right now?
Yeah, I really need to see a back on track type of game this week from him. Like, he's very low in my confidence.
Yeah, it would be good to see him get out there, sling it around, make some good, accurate throws. And I think that's like the concerning thing to me is just the accuracy part of it.
Yeah, I mean, now you bring that up, the last drive, he had two touchdown throws.
Yeah.
The exact same play, basically, 40 yards down the field or 50 yards down the field, whatever it was. He overthrows one by 5 yards, then he underthrows the next one by 5 yards. I mean, dude, we got a 10-yard difference. Our dudes didn't even get a hand on it either time.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stuff that's, like, really crushing, is, like, game-on-line, game-winning play right here. And he's just all over the place with it.
Yeah. I have a little bit of, like, maybe it was a great incompletion because – then we were able to go down and score with 20 seconds left.
Yes.
Instead of like, if he would have hit that, instead of if he would have hit that throw and you score, they would have had like a minute or 20 seconds to go up and try to beat you. So maybe it ends up being not the worst thing. But yeah, it's just very confusing to watch a quarterback who's playing at a power four level school and he can't make those throws.
Supposed to be your best recruited quarterback ever.
Yeah.
up it's until like, this point.
I think Will Hammond makes those throws, you know, and that's an interesting part. The other frustrating part was like just not a lot of Taj in the first half.
Yeah, that's why I missed a lot of the first half because I was working basketball, but I think, what I heard.
I think he had under 10 carries. I mean, I might be wrong on that, but he was not getting a lot of carries. You know, your first drive, you had some good runs, and then that opened up the pass game. Second drive, it was like pass. And then after that, it's just like a lot of passing, very little giving the ball to Taj. Jacoby Williams, who I thought was really good for you in the TCU game, only got one carry. And so it's just kind of odd that we abandoned the run game against a team that wasn't that great of a run defense. Now, they did stuff Taj a couple times on some 1 yards. And so I get the need or the Kittley's need to throw the ball in some of those situations, but I thought time and time again he was just didn't trust it enough, or at least didn't make their defense have to really try to stop the run over and over in the first half. And then I think the adjustment that ended up helping you in the end was you gave the ball to Taj significantly more in the second half, especially on that last drive. Like he busted up opened a couple runs there that really helped you get down the field.
Yep. Taj saving us again. One more thing I just thought about that we were both hammering at the game. Kittley's inability to call plays after we get a turnover is absolutely bonkers. I don't know what it is in previous years, but this year especially, we get a turnover, and in this game we got an interception in the second quarter, immediately three plays – -9 yards with a punt, minute off the clock. And then we get a fumble in the third, punt, three, -1 yard.
Yeah.
So -10 yards off the in turnovers. 2 minutes a clock. Like both three and outs. Like, I know it should be a good thing for your team to get turnovers. It makes your defense feel better for sure.
Yeah.
But Kittley, like, shits his pants that he has to call a play in 30 seconds from now. Because of the turnover, and then he can't, you know, string together three plays to get us a first down. And he's done this a lot this year, and it's mind-blowing, and it hurts, honestly.
Go back to the last game, TCU. You got the fumble on the four-yard line, and his offense couldn't punch it in. You needed your special teams to have a fake field goal to run it in. C.J. Baskerville got that interception at the line. The 40. You went backwards on that one, too. Yep. So it's just like, what are you doing with these huge momentum swings, you know, you're getting the ball from your defense and scoring position. And you're unable to do it. So, we're bitching a lot about a win, but there was some frustrating things in this one. Let's not bitch about the other side of the ball, the defense. What do you have to say about Tim DeRuiter and these guys' ability to show up despite getting criticized pretty heavily over the last 2 weeks? Throw in the comms thing too on there. You got dissed by Reese Davis and the game day crew.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that going on, and they came up and they played one hell of a game.
I mean, yeah, great on them for showing up and showing out in this kind of game. So it's a very good offensive, like well-rounded team. I wouldn't say very good in any level, but well-rounded.
Yeah.
And then most of your guys that were on that questionable list end up playing, so that helps a lot.
That list keeps growing.
But then we come back and it's way worse. But you got Chapman Lewis out there. Your D-line played really good. And then it's kind of the book that's been working for our team this year, and it's creating pressure, bringing blitzes. And, I mean, J-Rod has your only two sacks of the game, and he's your linebacker, which is good. I'm not hating on it. If you're creating sacks, that's great, because we weren't even doing that last year. So if you can create pressure and handle things in the background, like that's what I really, really wanted. And man, this game was so, so good with that.
Yeah. You look at the games that it's really worked. Arizona.
Exactly.
Iowa State. You got a lot of pressure. You really sped up the quarterbacks.
Even your TCU game was good enough. Yeah, you had it.
You had it. Make the quarterback make quick, fast decisions.
Right.
And that's going to get them off. They're going to miss a few throws because they're speeding things up just a bit. And they're rushing the throw because they know they don't have a lot of time. I saw something that
I think Jacob Rodriguez and Miguel Dingle are two of the best at like best pass rushers,
right?
Like graded blitzing pass rushers,
something, yeah.
You know, and I think Dingle, who's not going to get a whole lot of shout out because, you know, two tackles. But I think he's been impressive. You can tell he's just out there to basically linebacker blitz, and he always makes the quarterback uncomfortable. He might not get there, but he has some effect on some of those throws. And you look at it, one of your pressures caused one of the interceptions. And you know, Jacob Rodriguez punched out that. I think he was the reason that yes. guy coughed up the fumble. So,
yep. Pulled out the J-Rod punch again.
So, you know, this defense has struggled at times. So one of the things they've been great at is creating turnovers. This is a defense over Tim DeRuiter's career that hasn't really been able to produce a whole lot of turnovers. But this year they've been able to do that. And I just thought it was a really impressive performance from them after the last 2 weeks that they kind of had, where a lot of people were blaming this defense. You could tell they were playing with a little bit more energy, a little bit more trying to shut the people up. Yeah. And when they played like that so far this season, they've been really good. You look at a few of the games, North Texas, they were great. Arizona, they were great. This game, they were great. It was just unfortunate that your offense kept making them have to make play after play after play, to where at the end they, you know, kind of finally broke. But honestly, letting the Iowa State score so fast there might have been one of your better defensive plays of the game to give your offense the ball to let them go score. But we do got to talk about before, and it's going to be another little bit of the down part of this game, but this was another game with yet again some baffling coaching decisions. We had a top five of dumbest decisions in the TCU game. didn't think some of those decisions could be topped, but our coaching staff said, "Here, hold my beer," and made some of the more dumb decisions. We already talked about one of them, so we're not going to rehash that one with the 17-16 lead where you didn't run any clock. You ran 40 yeah. seconds off the
that
clock.
That was my favorite.
That was a pretty baffling decision that had us all wondering what the hell was going on. But I think, would this decision rank higher than the ones against TCU? The not calling a timeout before the delay of game on a huge fourth and one. A huge fourth and one where you had your tight end in at quarterback. So he's not used to doing the Baron Morton, watching the clock, making sure everything's running on time. But all your coaches are there, and not one pointed out that the play clock was getting low and that you needed to call a timeout there to take a fourth and one and turn it now into fourth and six. And we're all thinking, all right, I guess you're just going to punt it here because you're about midfield. And no, you run. You go for it on fourth and sixth, almost the midfield, which was one of the reasons why I had the dumbest plays last week, is not going for it on fourth and two inside the 10. This is just the inconsistency with Joey McGuire kind of rearing its head again. It's like last week you won't go for it inside the 10-yard line with a lead, but this week you'll go for a fourth and sixth. What did you think about those decisions and just kind of how, I mean, stupid those decisions were?
Yeah, the not running clock, that second to last drive really crushed me, killed me. And it's just like incompetence. The delay of game, that blows my mind that happens this level.
Makes no sense.
Like,
should never happen.
Most high school coaches don't even get that wrong.
Yeah.
Like, and the ones that do get it wrong kind of don't even care because they probably suck. But like, I get you want to take a timeout there, and the ref probably told them, all right, tell me right before. I can't, you know.
Yeah.
You can't, like, tell him and he, like, hold on to it for 12 seconds and then you call it. Like,
yeah.
That's not how the officiating works. You have to tell him when you want it. Like,
he should have been right there. He should have called it. As soon as it got to, like, 1 second, timeout. We're not ready.
He tried to do it when it was a zero, and it's like, I already called a flag, coach. Too bad. Like,
yeah.
So that's, like, stupid. And, like, it's not, like, a random part of the middle of the game. This was a very important part of the game. Fourth and one, two.
Up by 1 point at the time. Like, you needed a drive there to get some extra points to give you a little bit of comfort. And so it was huge.
So, I mean, huge decision. Those, the not running clock and trying to drive that out and the delay of game, like they would go up there in the top three with the running your backup quarterback.
Yeah.
situation.
I think the delay of game was as dumb as a thing as I've seen. Like, especially when they showed, like, Joey was watching, like, he was paying attention.
Yes.
And didn't call it. And then going for it after that. I just didn't understand. Like, I just don't understand the decision making there. Like, you're taking the fourth and one, I'll completely go for it. You that I loved what we were going to do there. Yeah, Jalen Conyers in at quarterback. You're like, all right, you got him and Taj in the backfield. This play is probably going to work. All they got to do is fall over, get a yard. Big, if they don't get it, you know, shit, oh well. But then going for it on fourth and six with Barron, who has been lost for the majority of this game. And once again, like, he just only staring down Josh Kelly. He was able to improvise and somehow get the ball off and overthrow Josh. But I just didn't understand that decision-making. With a one-point lead, you're going to give him a ball at midfield. Like, come on. Like, punt it. Your defense is playing great. You punt it there. Maybe pin him. Make him have to go 80-plus yards to score. I just don't get the decision-making there, especially after, like I said, last week you go for it, you don't go for it on a fourth and two inside your own inside the 10-yard line with a chance to basically win the game. I just don't understand when he's looking at athletic or the analytics anymore. I'm literally lost on the decision.
The book's on the sideline now, Brooks. The book's on the sideline.
It just makes no sense. I don't know what book they're looking at, but it seems like it.
And you know what? He's upset and going to get it fixed.
It's just like that decision-making almost cost you this game and almost had you at 5-4. And luckily you were able to overcome that, but I just do not think that should be overlooked, that decision-making right there. That's, like you said, that doesn't happen at the high school level. Nope. And this is college Power 4 football. So frustrating. Offensive stats from the game, and then we'll get to the happy stuff, Club Red and Colorado and everything like that. Offensive stats, Barron was 21 of 40, as we mentioned. Not great there. 237 yards, two touchdown passes, two interceptions. As I mentioned, one of those interceptions was terrible. He did have one interception called back because of a defensive hand to the face, or it would have been three interceptions for him. Taj, 25 carries for 122 yards in the game-winning touchdown. Josh Kelly, 8 catches for 127 yards and 2 touchdowns on the day. Big game for Josh Kelly. Defensive stats, we had 2 turnovers, a take-2 game from the defense. A.J. McCarty with the interception, and J-Rod with a fumble recovery, or a punch-out, a fumble. Chapman Lewis with the recovery. J-Rod in on both of those turnovers because he was the guy putting the pressure on the quarterback to make him throw an interception there, I'm pretty sure. Defense did give up 299 yards passing and 133 yards rushing, but a lot of bend-don't-break defense holding them to field goals. Once again, great performance from the defense. Our prediction recap, and then we'll get into Club Red. I went super negative on this one, and I might carry that over for this one because it worked. I had Iowa State 42-10. Dustin had Iowa State 34-20. So we both lose that one. We both had Iowa State covering the -13.5. So we both lose that. However, we did have the under in this game, so we win on the under hitting there. Offense, our offense was only going to score one touchdown. It did look like that for a half. and you were able to score a couple more touchdowns. So no, Dustin had a 100-yard wide receiver. Josh Kelly hit the century mark. So that is a yes.
That's
defense.
Good.
I had, our defense was going to play their second string quarterback. That did not happen because it was a close game. So good on that. Dustin had, only going to destroy us by either the ground or air.
I think I get that one.
Yeah, I mean, said
300 and 133. They didn't kill us either way.
Yeah, so we'll give that to you. Not really sure how to define that kind of prediction. Still,
I mean, I would think you need more than 150 on the ground and definitely more than 300 passing.
So. Those were our predictions, but the Red Raiders are back in the dub column, so that means it's time to open up Club Red.
Who in here trusts us? Somebody turn on some damn music!
Who in here trusts us? All right, Club Red is open for the 6th time this season as the Red Raiders get the win over Iowa State, so it's time to open up Club Red and let in some VIPs. Offensive VIP for you this game, Dustin, goes to only limited number of people you can really pick.
Yeah, I'll take a secondary one. Leave you the easy one if you don't have much. Davion Carter up front on the line had a great game. PFF graded him as the second best offensive lineman of the week. And so shout out to him. A lot of our linemen don't get enough shout outs, especially when we have games with quite a few false starts in it. So Davion Carter can come on in.
Yeah, that's a good one. Mine's going to be the easy layup here, Josh Kelly. A great game from him. Time and time again, he made big receptions for you. Had the two touchdown catches. One was wide open, but the other one he was getting pass interfered with. Had a guy holding his arm, made a great catch for the touchdown. He also had the huge fourth down reception for you on that final drive to keep the drive going. So big plays by him. If you went Josh Kelly, mine was going to be, he didn't have really any stats, but he had the big block at the end of the game to get Taj Brooks into the end zone. Yeah. Jalen Conyers, a shout out there for that block and that play. But yeah, not a really whole lot going on for the offense. Taj always gets in because he's just going to do him. Always over 120 yards rushing somehow. It's just, even on a game like that where it felt like he was getting stuffed time and time again, he's still able to break off a few, get over the century mark. Big performance from the defense this week. A couple turnovers, a couple sacks. So who's your defensive VIP this week?
Yeah, I got to take the easy one this week and go J-Rod.
Yeah.
I mean, 12 or 13 tackles and two sacks. You're only two sacks. Just creating pressure, creating havoc on the back end with punching the ball out. I mean, he's doing everything for you. And I mean, everything we do on defense revolves around him now. It's amazing to watch him.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And he was, you know, like we already said earlier, a big part of those two turnovers that were created. AJ McCarty had the interception. So, I think like anytime anybody gets an interception, it's valuable to let them in. Yeah. I am going to say Chapman Lewis, too. I think. You know, we'll let AJ McCarty in, but I do want to shout out Chapman Lewis. He was the fumble recovery as well, but seven tackles from him. I thought he was a very good for you on the defense. Mo Horn, I thought, was really good for you too. I thought a lot of your secondary guys did a pretty good job in this game. So ultimately, really, anybody for the defense shows up, we'll let you in this week after that kind of performance to help get you the dub. But the Red Raiders move to 6-3 on the season after the win over Iowa State. And that means it's time to transition into the next game where the Colorado Buffaloes are headed to town. All right, Dustin, well, former Big 12 foe, new Big 12 foe. Big noon kickoff is coming to town for a 3 p.m. kickoff. And Deion Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, and Travis Hunter are making their way to Lubbock, Texas for a big game between the number 20th ranked Colorado Buffaloes, currently 6-2 on the season, 4-1 in Big 12 conference play, coming to meet you in Lubbock for a big game. We've got the galvanized Patrick Mahomes jerseys getting for the first time. Dustin's got his galvanized Patrick Mahomes tech jersey on right now. Looks pretty sick. Big game. Your thoughts on this game before we get into some of the Colorado players that you need to know?
Yeah, that'll be easy to cover, to be honest. But there's a lot of excitement around this game, and rightfully so. I mean, you get a good Colorado team. Deion and his couple studs bring in a lot of attention, but also winning last week kind of uplifts the the attitude a little bit. I mean, if we'd have gone three straight losses looking at a fourth, pitchforks are looking to come out at that point. Now it's looking the other way, and it's like, hey, maybe we can get a home upset here.
Mm-hmm. Put together back-to-back ranked wins. Yeah.
So lots, and you know, you got Fox Big Noon kickoff coming for the 3 p.m. game. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Makes total sense, Dustin.
I'm glad when I asked you about that at the basketball game, you were also dumbfounded because I feel stupid about it. I don't understand.
Big 3 p.m. kickoff.
Like, I thought they'd made this initiative like 2 years ago to like, hey, noon's our big game.
Yeah.
but now the noon kickoff show is at the 3 p.m. game.
So what? I'm very confused. So what happens like when the noon kickoff game happens? Do they just stop and I guess they just hang out with everybody? Like what happens? Usually it's like game time. So,
but big deal. Apparently, they were setting up all week.
Yeah,
you know they're gonna be near like where the old Coliseum was, near our tailgate spots. So that's good for us. Very excited for this one.
Yeah, like you said, this was trending in the direction of, oh gosh, Colorado's going to come to town and we're going to be 5-4. And yeah, one drive. And now you're like, all right, you know, we've got a little momentum here, 6-3. Colorado, this is a big game to, you know, is going to have a factor in who probably makes it to the Big 12 championship game. Colorado's been really good. That's the other part of this is they were a team that I think a lot of people kind of wrote off earlier in the season after they lost to Nebraska, but they've been playing good football. Like they're 6-2 right now, 4-1. Their one conference loss is to Kansas State. This is a much better Colorado football team than they were last season. Shedeur Sanders is a great quarterback, and they've got a Heisman contender in Travis Hunter. And so, like we knew heading into the season, kind of no matter how good Colorado football was, the Deion show is going to bring eyes.
Yeah.
The Colorado is going to bring eyes. This was going to be a fun game kind of no matter what, just because of the attention that this program brings. But it's awesome that they're having a good season. It's awesome that we were able to get that Iowa State win and make this kind of a marquee game enough to bring a big noon kickoff to town. And like we don't have these opportunities a whole lot to kind of get to show off and get the fan base really rocking. We had College Game Day back, you know, when Texas Tech was taking on number one ranked Texas. We haven't had anything like this since then, so it's really cool. Matt Leinart was tweeting out today, yeah, to see like places to go, and it's just kind of cool to see, like, you're gonna have, you know, I don't like the guy, but Urban Meyer is gonna be here, Matt Leinart, Mark Ingram, right? And yep. And so you've got some big names on that set. Obviously I favor the game day set, but and RIP to Ben Herbstreit's dog while we're on that, but it's cool. It definitely has a big game atmosphere and feel to it. I know Lubbock's going to be buzzing this weekend, and so that's exciting to have.
And all this rain should pass. It just started pouring again.
Yeah, of course, today it rained all day long, rainy, gloomy, cold, but it is fall, and it's November, and that is football weather. But yeah, a little bit about Colorado. Of course, the two names we already know, everybody knows, Shedeur Sanders, son of head coach Deion Sanders. He's having himself another pretty good season, 2,591 pass yards, 21 touchdowns to just 6 interceptions. Not much of a running threat, so that is good. He's going to sling the ball, and he's got a Heisman contender. And Dustin, who Genty's putting up absurd numbers at Boise State, but Travis Hunter's playing both ways and the entireties of these games, and he's doing something nobody's ever done.
Yeah.
Sure, Charles Woodson did it, but he only played like 30 offensive snaps. This guy's playing all offense, all defense. That's Travis Hunter. Heisman contender, 757 yards on 60 receptions and 8 touchdowns, while on the defensive side of the ball, he's got 7 pass breakups and 2 INTs on the defensive side of the ball for Colorado. So going to be fun to watch those two guys play. They don't really have much of a rushing tech. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot. Their leading rusher on the season only has 271 yards. Taj Brooks does that in like a game and a half. They do have a couple other receivers that you got to know. LaJonte Wester, he's second on the team with 501 yards and 7 touchdowns. Jimmy Horn Jr. is another pretty solid receiver, 434 yards on the season, only 1 touchdown. Defensively, definitely the weaker side of the ball for these guys. However, they have caused 13 turnovers on the season, 6 interceptions, 7 fumble recoveries. So an opportune defense. They also have 22 sacks, so they've been able to get to the quarterback a little bit better than they did last year. However, they are giving up 155 yards rushing, 209 yards passing per game. So this spells to be a pretty good game for Taj Brooks. And while we're on that note, this Taj Brooks is in the vicinity of breaking the all-time Texas Tech rushing record. My prediction heading into the year was that it would be the Colorado game that he would break it. So he has that opportunity on Saturday. But now we've kind of gone through the teams, like your excitement level on kind of getting to see the Shedeur Sanders-Travis Hunter show.
Yeah, Shadur's had a great, great season. I mean, I know he just comes in with a lot of flash, especially with his dad, but you look at his numbers. I mean, he's had 70% completions, 2,600 yards, like you said, 21-6. Like, those are really good numbers.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's not much of a running threat. He does the Patrick Mahomes, I think we should start calling it now, of he's mobile enough, but then he looks to reset to throw it down the field. And that could really give us some problems in this game, because a lot of their, not a lot, but they're going to throw the ball a lot. Half of what he wants to do is, yeah, if the stuff breaks down, I'm just going to see how long I can make this play go. And eventually somebody's going to be open. So we have to do a great job of either covering and converging and just getting him down and not letting him keep extending and keep extending and keep extending.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the Mahomes Tech offense when it was here. It was just like, hey, if I can create enough time, one of my guys is going to get open. And when you got a guy like Travis Hunter that you're throwing the football to, you're going to have a lot of those opportunities. And so, yeah, I think a huge key for this defense, you know, we'll just kind of get into that part here, is like you have been, dial up the pressure and make him make quick decisions. Like, I'm not going to be mad if they're nickel and diming you down the field. You want to prevent the big plays to Travis Hunter. You want to keep them contained, but you also want to make sure Shedeur is getting rid of the football quick. And like you said, not giving him that time to just let Travis Hunter and these, you know, got two good other receivers break down your defense.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. It's like, you're not going to have to deal with rushing. You can probably handle what they do. And, yeah, keep sending four or five guys at them. I mean, if we ever rush three, I'll be pissed. Because then Shooter's going to have all day and find somebody that way. Like, Sawyer Robinson did that to us. We should never do that again. So
never go back.
Bring four or five. Now, the problem is we haven't played a guy that's like Travis Hunter on that.
Yeah.
Side of the ball. I know McMillan for Arizona was damn good. That's probably the best thing to compare him to, just because, I mean, they're different size dudes, but the skill level is very high. They're both NFL type wide receivers.
The ability to make a play is very similar.
And that's the thing I want to worry about is, I mean, he's going to get, you know, 10 catches or whatever, but can we get him on the ground once he catches the ball? And then, like, don't let him go for 40 on us over our heads here and there. Like, that's where we got to control this Colorado team, is just wrapping them up and getting them on the ground as soon as possible and not letting them flag football the rest of the game, you know?
Yeah, a lot of containment, you know, if they're going to make the catch, tackle them after. Don't let them, you know, break a couple tackles and get open. Bend, don't break, which has been kind of the theme of Tim DeRuiter's defense in his time here at Tech. You know, teams have been able to drive the ball on you, but once you get down into the red zone, your defense has been able to hold and hold them to field goals. I think that's going to be huge. If you can keep them out of the end zone, make them have to go for field goals. You've been a really good team on fourth downs. Like, you can get that stuff, get those extra opportunities of taking the ball away and keeping points off the board. That's going to be really big for you. The side of the ball that really struggled against Iowa State, Baron Morton, Zach Kittley, and this offense. Like we said earlier, come in, you got a little bit of a task here of maybe trying to get Taj Brooks the rushing record in front of the home crowd in this game. But how do you think the offense does against a Colorado team that's not really known for their defense, but has, like I said, they played better than they were last year. They've been able to force some turnovers, but how do you think this offense stacks up, and what do you expect from Kittley and Barron on Saturday?
Yeah, Kittley needs to really stay in his Taj lane this week. The front for Colorado is based on a pass rush. They are not big boys up front, relatively speaking, to D linemen. Right. I mean, they're not, you know, beefy up front is what I mean there. and they are doing a great job at rushing the passer and mm-hmm. getting sacks. They're second in the Big 12 in sacks.
22
sacks. And that's a lot. I mean, that's over three a game. They're having 3 to 4 a game. And so that's where it's at. Like, if we start doing stupid stuff like we did in Iowa State, where we just want to sit back and throw it and not give it to Taj, well, that's probably not going to work great, especially with mm-hmm. a all-conference cornerback on one side that we definitely haven't played a caliber of that guy yet. And so moving our guys around, because I don't think Hunter moves, really. I think he sits on one side. One side.
Yeah.
And so moving our guys around, Kittley does do a good job of that. And
yeah,
so,
you're going to see Josh Kelly lined up in a lot of different positions. You're going to see Caleb Douglas on both sides.
Else, this might get controversial because I'm going to say the S word. We might do some screens and put. What did you say? Hear me out. Put like Jalen Conyers out there to block Travis Hunter. Like, get a big body on him. Like,
get out of here, Dustin. Don't use. You know, Jalen Conyers is only used for gadget plays and as a backup quarterback to run the ball.
No, we'd rather.
He might be a tight end, but we don't ever want to use him for that. Yeah, so get out of here with that nonsense.
But, like, let's use Mason Tharpe out there. Let's use Jalen Conyers out there. Let's use John Carlos Miller to block him and put physicality on him. I haven't watched any Colorado games and know if teams are doing this to him enough. Or
yeah,
if they're scared of him, stay completely away. If we do go towards him, that's what I would like to see.
I'll say, like, I hate that we don't use our tight ends. Like, still is year three of having awesome tight ends and you never use them. But, damn, they're good blockers. Like, Jalen Conyers is a great blocker. Mason Tharpe's pretty good. John Carlos Miller is another great blocker. He had an outstanding block in the TCU game, I'm pretty sure, that fake field goal. So, I think that would be – important to get those guys out there doing that. I don't mind screenplays. I just think Kittley's terrible at drawing them up, and they're very predictable as when we are going to run a screenplay. And they're never to Taj Brooks, which also makes no sense. Like, you can run a running back.
We tried one of those in the third quarter, and it didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And so he'll never, he'll never do it again.
But that's the thing. He'll do it when he hasn't been given the ball all the first half, and then he runs something stupid to him for nothing.
Yeah. And he'll be like, look, I gave him the ball.
Do this when.
I think he specifically sometimes just runs the ball right up the middle for no yards just so he can be like, look, I gave it to him. And nothing happened. So he has an excuse.
But yeah, we really need to stay in our lane this week and run the ball. I would rather not give Shador and their offense more time of possession and more possessions. You know, we need to make it, you know, like Kansas State does in most of their games and slow it down and run the ball.
Limit their possessions. You need to dominate the time of possession in this game. It's very frustrating that in that last game in Iowa State that, like, you know, you had those opportunities, and like we talked about, those drives were 3 plays, 1 minute, 2 minutes. You need some sustained drives here. You've got to be able to run the football. You've got to feed Taj. He needs at least 30 carries in this game, I think. And I think that having that record in sight in this game might be.
I think that helps
because I think they're going to be motivated to get him this record in this game in front of the home crowd. I don't think they want to do it at Stillwater next week. I think they want to do it this week. I think that's been the plan all along. And so I think that gives us an opportunity there. So that's what I'm banking on in this game is that. And I think that's going to help our offense. And you do need – you're not going to have a lot – Barron's not going to have a lot of time in the pocket. And what we noticed in the Iowa State game, he's just not good under pressure. He needs to be able to get the ball out really quick. If he's under pressure, things usually don't go all that well. So it's going to be quick plays. That might mean screens. That's going to be a lot of Taj Brooks. But there's an opportunity to move the ball on this defense. We just got to hope and pray that Kittley has the right calls, that Barron is the good bear in this game that you need to get this done. Any other things on this Colorado game that you're excited for?
I wanted
to talk about
hit all my stuff that I had on my mind.
Yeah, I think that's
don't be mad at the gray jerseys if we do lose.
Yeah, they're galvanized. They're not gray. They're galvanized, guys. So get that through your heads. I like the jerseys. Are you excited to see? Are you excited to see them out there?
Yeah. This game? I mean, the jerseys are sweet. I mean, the numbers have like they're not just like a flat silver. They have like diamond look to mm-hmm. them. I don't know what you call that. Really galvanized. But then like the chrome red face masks are gonna be sweet too. Yeah. I mean, it's just a cool opportunity for our team. You know, Mahomes on the jersey, Mahomes on the, like, the gloves and stuff. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty sick.
It's pretty sick to have that. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the jerseys out there. I'm definitely looking forward to see. I hope Colorado's wearing, like, the gold. I hope they're not wearing, like, the stupid black helmets or, like, a white helmet. I like the Colorado gold helmet. I hope they're going with that look. Could be a potentially really good jersey game. So,
yeah.
Excited for that. Excited to have the Jones rocking on a Saturday afternoon, which means it's time for us to make some predictions. Last week, I went super negative. This week, I'm going to kind of keep it the same because last week I went negative and we got a win. So I might keep it in that same route. But as we always do, start off with our score predictions. What you got?
I was making that face because I looked at your over-under. I'm way over. I'm way over.
I'm pretty over, too.
I mean, I think it's going to be a shootout type of game. And I'm going with Tech pulls off the upset 41-38.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that is 79 points with over 162.
This is crazy because I have the same score, but I have 41-38 Colorado.
Oh, no.
I'm going, like I said, I'm going negative because negative has worked for last week. I was super negative.
Wow.
And
both that helps. 79. That's crazy.
But yeah, so. Dustin going with the Texas Tech 41-38. I'm on the same score. I just got Colorado.
I don't see how 62 is the number for the total.
I really don't either. Cause like I was debating on 41-38 or 38-35, kind of was my range, but both of those are over pretty easily. So I don't know how they think this is going to be.
33-30 wins that still gets the over. Both scoring more than 4.5 touchdowns, I think, in this game.
Yeah, I don't foresee this being like the Iowa State game was of like a 22, 21, 23, 20, whatever that score was. I don't see it being that. I see this being more like the Cincinnati game, which was 44-41. I think it's going to be very similar to that game. It's going to be a lot of offense. It's going to be my prediction in this one is that Colorado is going to score at the end to win. That's kind of where I'm thinking there. But I think it's going to be a really good game. Both of us having Texas Tech plus 4 there, mine by a point. Dustin's got Texas Tech winning, so covering there. We're both over the 62.5 points, like we said. That's pretty ridiculous. I would go hammer that if I was you guys for recreational purposes only. Offensive prediction, what do you have for us this week?
I'm not going to go with the 100-yard receiver.
Oh, just because it's just wrote that in
just because it's been hitting too easily.
Yeah,
I got to get off of it. I mean, that's too boring at this
point. Last year it was entertaining because we only had like that happen twice.
It. Now it's easy. I think I've hit it two times.
We've had 100-yard receiver.
I'm
like
two for two on hitting it.
We've had 100-yard receiver like the last four games. So
I am going to go back to the well on one of them though. That was really hard and also really dumb. And we're going to have a receiver with a better game than Travis Hunter. The last time I did this was McMillan from Arizona, and he had like 160 yards.
And he went the hell off.
But we won. But so we won. I'm going to go with it again.
It's funny is because mine is Travis Hunter themed this week, as I did last week. I'm going with the negative predictions. I'm going to say Travis Hunter is going to have an INT. Barron is going to throw. Travis Hunter is going to catch a pass on defense and offense in this game. Barron's going to throw him one. Two Travis Hunter, yeah.
Wow, he only has like two on the year.
I know, but he's going to throw him one, and it's going to be my prediction is this game is ultimately we're going to basically catapult Travis Hunter to front runner Heisman, and he's going to have like the interception at the like late in the game to give Colorado the ball with a chance to go score. Maybe my defensive prediction is that we're going to let Travis Hunter's going to go off.
You just got the Travis Hunter game in Lubbock.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Write it in.
Yeah. It's just going to be like, it's going to be, he's going to have a Heisman moment type thing in this game where they're going to be like,
wow. I'm going to go, this one's going to be crazy for us. 4 sacks in this game.
Wow. We haven't even done a sack prediction this year.
We've been building up in the sack columns lately, though.
Yeah, we've had three and then two. We've had 5 in the last 2
games.
We had
a couple of tackles for loss last game. Like, we're building them up. So if DeRuiter continues that, I mean, I think with this offensive line that's not great, I think this is our best chance to get to that number.
Yeah, I wish I didn't look to see how many sacks they've given up this year. I don't know the best way to find that stat.
I'm on there. I don't know if we can find that easily, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I will try.
I like that prediction. I think it's a good time to go to the sack well. I think 4 is ambitious.
I know. I'm going out there.
But that would be nice to have 4. I think that would mean if what you have predicted comes true with the we're out receiving Travis in this game and get 4 sacks, you can win it. I think what I predicted is, you know, last game I predicted pretty bad and nothing ever happened. So that's kind of what I'm rolling with here, is I got to keep that same. It worked last week, and so maybe the bad predictions help us get that motivation to get this dub. The Red Raiders taking on the Colorado Buffaloes. Old Big 12 meets new Big 12. That's fun. I'm excited to see Colorado back in Lubbock, back in the Big 12. I always like the games with Colorado. And so it's fun to have them back in the conference. It's fun to have a big, meaningful game against the Colorado Buffaloes on Saturday. Make sure you're getting out there early for Big Noon kickoff if you're wanting to see it. I think they're getting things going at like 8 a.m. So you'll have plenty of time to watch them, and of course a lot of time to tailgate before the 3 p.m. game. But we're excited for Saturday, as everybody else should be. And before we get out of here this week, we do have some Texas Tech basketball to talk about, as hoop season has officially begun. All right, well, the Texas Tech basketball season has officially began. Grant McCaslin's year 2 at the helm underway. The Red Raiders started off the season with a 94-61 win over Bethune-Cookman on Tuesday night. It was a pretty easy win. A little struggle in the first half, but cruised to the victory thanks to a 17-0 run there at the end of the second half, and then at the end of the first half, and then a dominant second half. Red Raiders were without Elijah Hawkins, your projected starter at the point guard role. His backup in freshman Christian Anderson Jr., who was also out, and one of your returners in Emily Yalahu, who was also out in this game. So you ran a pretty small squad, you know, only 7 guys really playing for you the majority of this game, but it was a pretty impressive start to the season for those 7 players. The team tied a school record of 3s made in a single game with 16 threes made in this game, led by Dr. K. Kerwin Walton, who came out and, like I tweeted during the game, he saw that he wasn't on the nation's best 3-point list. I think he saw that, and I think he's motivated. 7 3-pointers for Kerwin for 21 points. JT Toppin, pretty, like, we talked about it a little bit before the show, but what did you say about JT Toppin's performance?
I mean, he just like quietly had 19 and 8. I mean, we kind of got really caught up in the flashiness of Kerwin and, you know, Chance with some pull-ups, Darian with some step-backs, that we just forgot that JT Toppin was just so solid inside all night.
Yeah, just dude looks like a stud. Yeah, first thoughts about him. He can get to the rim. He has really good touch. He has some really good post moves. I will say he loves to go left. So if teams just figure that out, he's got to figure out how to go to the right a little bit. But yeah, 19-8, 4 blocks, 2 steals. You'll take that any day of the week. So pretty solid Texas Tech debut for JT Toppin. Darian Williams, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Really fun performance from Darian to start the season. Chance McMillan, 17 points on 4 of 7 from threes. Your three returners kind of leading the way for you in this game. In Kerwin, D5, and Chance, they led the way. And of course, JT had a pretty good game. What are your thoughts getting to see the team play for the first time?
I've never been that excited to go to a football opening football or basketball game as I was this Tuesday.
I think we figured out the reason. What was the reason why? A certain player who might not be on the squad this year.
I'll get into more of that next week. Just less chaos all around this program. And just the fact that we know what we have in coaching, in the guys that we brought back from last year that are really good, and the guys that we brought in this year that are studs. And then, like I kind of mentioned it, like just the way they blended and melded this team to complement each other. I mean, we played this game with 94 points and all these threes without our really good distributing point guard. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the offense could get better when he comes back.
It should.
So, yeah, I was very excited. And then they did not disappoint. I mean, we only played 7 guys because of the injuries. Yeah. None of them went your major. Nobody freak out. So that was very nice to see. And he had Devin Cambridge come back and mm-hmm. play quite a bit, too. So it's good to see him kind of getting back out there and into the swing of things.
Yeah, Cambridge with 5 points in his return to the court after his ACL injury. So it was good to see him back there. Yeah, it was just it was a fun environment. It was fun. I was really excited to see this team. It felt like a really long off season for some reason. There's just kind of an excitement with this team. I think a lot of people, you know, in the know and the people who know ball think this is going to be a really good squad. I think you recruited really well. I think the roster construction is as good of a constructed team that I've seen at Texas Tech in quite some time. You got the rebounding that you need with Federico and JT Toppin and like the guys with the big presence. You've got the shooters in Kerwin and Chance and D5. You got playmaker like D5 who, like, you could tell is just a little bit more aggressive. Same with Chance. I thought, you know, Pop was a loss, but they just felt like a little more freedom with those guys. We kind of joked at one point in the game. It's like, man, like Chance's he looks like more assertive and more in control. And you're like, oh, yeah, but it's because Pop's not shooting 30% from the field and taking all his shots. He's a good, efficient shooter, and he's getting more looks, and he's going to have the ball in his hands more, and he's got the green light, and you can clearly see that. And Kerwin, I mean, a hell of a shooting performance from him. 7 threes to start this game. It's funny because, like, I think my favorite part of the game was when he faked a three and stepped in for 2 when we were all just like, no, 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 because we were like, you're too close, and he missed it. And then, like, next possession, he got a wide open three, buried it. It's like, man, when that guy shoots a three, it feels like a layup. It's just so automatic. His stroke is so consistent. He's a pure joy to watch shoot the basketball. I do not know how he was not on the top.
It's so easy. Like, once it gets to his face, like, it's so quick, and you already know it's in. And he wasn't just, you know, people creating for him, and he's just, you know, pulling mm-hmm. the trigger. He had a couple step back, side steps, one dribble step into it. Like, he had 2 of those or 3 of those that were mm-hmm. he created more for himself.
Yeah, it's just, man, it's fun to watch him when he gets in the zone like that. It was fun. Chance was in the zone. Darian was in the zone. JT was really fun to watch. So, yeah, you get all this, and you still have 3 like guys who were really important pieces heading into the season that you haven't even got to play yet. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Kevin Overton. You know, I thought wasn't like the most amazing debut for him, but you can see the skill and the size he has, the athleticism, the ability to get to the rim. He's going to be a problem in some of these games. He's only going to get better. Like, look at what Darian was like for you at the start of last season. He was kind of like in the Kevin Overton role for you. He was a guy that you weren't really sure what you were going to get from him, and he ended up being your best player. I'm not saying Kevin Overton's going to do that, but he's going to grow and only get better. Elijah Hawkins is going to come back. Christian Anderson, who's had a lot of buzz coming into this offseason, is going to be a guy for you. And then we're going to get to see what Emily Yalahu has done. So we'll, of course, dive into basketball a little bit more. But it was fun getting to see them start the season. It's fun being at the United Supermarkets Arena watching basketball. It's my favorite time of the season when you got football going and you got basketball going. Good times to be had. So up next for the Red Raiders, they tip off their second game against Northwestern State on Friday night. So that's probably the day that you're listening to this podcast. They're tipping off. And then Wyoming is coming to town, a chance to get some revenge for football for a few years ago. We mentioned this before, we stole Wyoming's coach, basketball coach. He's our assistant now. So there's that too. And so, yeah, basketball is in swing. Did you see Ryan Kalkbrenner, the Creighton guy, had 49 points last night?
So I did tune into that game. I got home late from work and nothing's on a Wednesday night except random college basketball. So I was like, oh, Creighton's playing. Let me see what Pop's doing.
Not there.
Pop's not dressed for the game.
Hip issue. Yeah.
Nope. Undisclosed.
Undisclosed. Oh.
I looked on Twitter. Undisclosed. So
is Drew Steffi on the team?
I hope he was a shithead and got disciplined. You know my stance on if you leave us. But yeah, 49 was incredible.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it. We were just kind of chilling last night. And then I remember I was just getting on Twitter and seeing that. I was like, oh, Kalkbrenner scored 49 points. I was like, oh, yeah, Pop's on the crate. And I want to see how he did. And I went and looked, and I didn't see him on the roster at all. No minutes or anything. So I was a little curious what happened there. Something to monitor for sure. But we like where everything is headed with this basketball team. Expect a fun season for the Red Raiders, and we'll dive into it a little bit more after Colorado is a bye week for us. So we'll dive into it a little bit more next week, go a little more in depth on the players and everything like that. But before we get out of here for the week, as always, we got to hit you guys with a final shot. Dustin, any final shots for us?
I don't have anything, just because now, like, the – a lot of the sports are starting to die down and settle in. Like, it's mainly football because college basketball is not many great matchups at this point, especially for Tech. So, no, I'm just locked in on trying to win a couple fantasy games at this point, man. Playoffs around the corner.
Yeah, I love this kind of time of year. You got NFL starting to heat up. Fantasy football is like
something to watch every night, though, if you want to.
Basketball's back. NBA's back. College basketball's back. So there's a lot going on right now. Love to watch it all. You know, been watching a lot of football. Like, a lot of football this year. I've been really dialed in on that. I got NFL Red Zone this year. So, like, Sundays, I'm just, like, locked into that, which is really nice just to kind of keep track of my fantasy players and everything like that. We were texting about a trade offer I had earlier, like trying to make a decision on that stuff. So just a fun time of year, and it's good to have, you know, college basketball back in the mix here. And I love November and December as things kind of ramp up. So not much of a final shot for me either. Just shout out to all the sports going on. Shout out to all the football. Shout out to all the basketball. And, hopefully – Derrick Henry goes off tonight.
He has 22 yards at halftime, so he's
I bet Lamar is going off, though, because I'm playing against him. So that would be natural. Well, right. That will do it for us this week. We hope you enjoyed us getting to, talk about a Texas Tech dub and getting ready for the Colorado Buffaloes coming to town and Texas Tech basketball being back. Lots going on in Lubbock this weekend. We hope you guys have a fun, safe weekend with whatever you're doing. We'll be at the basketball game tomorrow. I know there's a little event going on at Two Docks with some Scarlet and Black Insider folks going to be there, so I might pop by, say hi there. See you at the USA. Maybe we'll see you at the Jones on Saturday. Hope you enjoy your tailgates. Have a fun weekend, and as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate.